Welcome to Tuesday Talk with T. West Lou. I am Louis Patrone. Well, it's been another big week, probably bigger than most weeks. The whole world's gone crazy, not just us in the United States. So we're going to touch on some of these things. If you'd like to chat with me about anything I'm talking about or you want to talk about something else, give me a call. On your screen is the call-in number, 646-478-5731, 646-478-5731. Let's talk about tornadoes first, because we have had a devastating tornado in Oklahoma yesterday. Absolutely terrible. We all watch television. You couldn't miss it. It's been on the screen all day, all night. Pure devastation. Houses down, block after block after block. Only a pile of rubble on the ground. The homes don't even look like homes. Pictures of cars this morning on Morning Joe on MSNBC. Willie Geist was walking around saying, look at this car, look at that car. And there were rows of automobiles that had been picked up by the tornado and blown around, and you could not identify the make of any one of the automobiles. Tough ball game. Bad stuff. Okay, let's talk about tornadoes. And then I'm going to talk to you about good Senator Coburn and good Senator Eyhoff, who represent Oklahoma. First of all, most tornadoes are 35 miles an hour. That's all. There's lots of tornadoes, but they're small, and they go through them, generally no damage. This was a big one, one of the biggest ever. It was a 5. As with hurricanes that we know down here in Key West, and fortunately we have not had a 5 in many a year, anything over 200 miles with the tornado is a 5. There ain't no number bigger. It's the worst you can have. Very few buildings can stand a wind of 200 miles an hour or more. Cinder block, concrete block buildings won't stand. The school that went down and killed several school children, ripped the roof off and the walls came down, was concrete block, and it could not withstand the wind. Interestingly, for this tornado, in Moore, Oklahoma, we're talking about now, Moore, Oklahoma, they only had a 16-minute warning. That's absolutely horrendous. How much can you run? In 16 minutes, you got to go into the cellar or wherever you're supposed to go for a shelter. It's unfortunate that they come up that quickly and attack so quickly. It does not give people much time to plan, where am I going to hide? Fortunately, also in Oklahoma, the people, the kids in school, they practice for these tornadoes. They know where they're to go in the school, and if they're home, where they're to go. Some people actually build tornado cellars, even though, or shelters under the ground, even though most homes there, because of the nature of the soil, do not have cellars. Most tornadoes don't last long. They come and they go. This one, it lasted 40 minutes on the ground. 40 minutes on the ground. Absolutely unheard of. Usually, the path of the tornado, the width of the tornado, is at best 1,600 feet. This one was 1 mile. I was interested this morning as to what the quote-unquote experts were going to say about global warming and the tornadoes. Interesting what I came up with. The politicians said it was global warming. The scientists said this is not global warming, and we are certain. This tornadoes, and I'm convinced of this at this stage, because the guys who talk all the time, the politicians, didn't know what the hell they were talking about, and the scientists did. And to a man or to a woman, the scientists were united in what they said. They all said the same thing. It has nothing to do with global warming. What it has to do with is warm weather. The warm wind, the warm weather comes up from the south, and it's carrying water. The cold air comes down from the north. Oklahoma sits in the central plains. It's a great plain. There are no mountains which normally would break the tornado up, the winds up, before they even came together. So these two meet and instantaneously create the tornado. If there were mountains there, you wouldn't have the tornadoes there, because again, the mountains would break up the wind before it even got that bad. And they said, but this isn't global warming. This is the way it's been yesterday, today, and it's going to be this way tomorrow. But and interestingly, again, all the political hacks were out there saying, example of global warming. I am opposed to global warming, as you well know. I think we got to get rid of the carbon problem we have. Corporate America has to stand at attention on this issue. But this ain't an example of global warming. Now, the most interesting thing about this tornado, this terrible tornado with people dead, and there has to be billions of dollars. You saw the pictures again on television of property damage. It's going to take, as it did with Sandy, forever to put the town back together. They'll get back together, but everything's got to be reconstructed. Now, Oklahoma is a Republican state. They have two Republican senators and five congressmen. Of the five congressmen, four are Republicans, only one Democrat. No question, Republican state. The two Republican senators are Tom Coburn and Jim Inhofe. You know who they are. They are far to the right, ultra-conservative, not crazy, but they're ultra-conservative representatives of the people. They are to the far right. When Sandy happened, remember Sandy? New Jersey, New York, parts of Massachusetts, the damage Hurricane Sandy did. Whoever expected a hurricane to hit up that high? We expected in Key West. I didn't expect it at the Jersey Shore, New York City. When Sandy happened, the government put together a package of $60 billion to help the people in the struck states. And what did Inhofe say? What did Coburn say? No way. Remember, they made a fuss and they delayed the vote on it, I think 3 weeks. I'm not sure of the time, but they delayed the vote. In the meantime, Governor Christie, a Republican himself in New Jersey, who speaks up when he has to, he knows how to use his mouth, said, what the hell's going on here? Are you guys crazy? This is a disaster. When there's a disaster, the federal government has to step in. No one else has this kind of money to take care of this problem. No state, no group of people. And they finally passed the bill, but they didn't give $60 billion, they gave $50 billion, they cut $10 billion off. Well, Congress is going to have to allocate money again. The United States Senate is going to have to allocate money. The House of Representatives have to approve it. And they've got to do it, and they will do it, because no one can take care of these problems again. They are of such a magnitude. This morning, Senator Coburn said the following. Now, because he's big, anytime we're going to approve new monies, we must go to the budget and cut it from someplace. You've got to take it away from some other expenditure so that it balances out and we don't increase the national debt, which is another issue altogether I'll get into someday, because I think that's a crock. In any event, Coburn said this morning he will not, you heard me, he will not support any disaster relief, any funds from Washington, unless budget cuts elsewhere are taken. In other words, if he needs $50 billion for Oklahoma, if the people of Oklahoma, if the people of more Oklahoma need $60 or $50 or $40 billion, first you got to find a place we're going to cut it away and take it from somebody else to give to them. Otherwise, my people, the people of Oklahoma, do not get the money. He is taking his own people, his own constituents, hostage, so that he can continue to stand for what he does stand for, balance the budget. This is not a time you balance the budget. This is a time you take care of those who are in need. This is a time that you must come in and help your people. Otherwise, what the hell good is national government? We should be 50 states, because the states alone can't afford to take care of this. But if the government isn't going to do it, then we don't need the government for all the other reasons. Now, Inhofe, okay, you got to fit. Now, Coburn's saying no money unless we cut it out of the budget, and he's going to stand firm on this. Inhofe, his brother senator, said he wants help from Washington. He wants a disaster aid bill. But there's a difference between this and the initial Sandy Bill. In the Sandy Bill, there was pork. There was some pork. There was some other, there was money for some other problems in the country caused by storms, hurricanes that needed money. And they threw it into the bill. Eichhoff said, our bill will be pure. These guys are pure. They make me sick. All right? Especially Colburn. He pontificates on television. The media love to talk to him. He's a doctor by profession. And he's a nice-looking guy, and he sounds very convincing. You know, we've got to cut the budget. Disaster's around the corner and all this sort of thing. Any man who does not want to help his fellow man in a time of disaster, as we have in Moore, Oklahoma, I have little respect for. Now, we're going to go to Benghazi. If you want to talk to me, by the way, 646-478-5731. Benghazi, where the four Americans got killed. I'm not going to go over Benghazi. I just want to make one point, and that's this. We in this country have our priorities screwed up, not you and me. The Congress of the United States, the politicians in Washington, our government in Washington has its priorities screwed up. Four Americans were killed in Benghazi. Terrible. I'm not saying it isn't terrible. Four people killed in Benghazi. 20 children, first graders, 6 years old, 20, not four, killed in Newton, Connecticut, plus six adults. I think they were all teachers. 26 people killed. What do we hear the noise about? What's the clamor in Congress, and they're having special hearings and all this sort of stuff? You don't hear about Newton, Connecticut. You hear about Benghazi. It's been going on since November. It's going to go on till next November. The Republicans aren't going to give up on this. They want to know if the president slept all night. What was Hillary doing? And so forth. And we should know all the facts. But they don't seem to be getting at them. They seem to be questioning the wrong people. They don't seem to trust anybody. And it's an absolute disgrace. They have spent tons more time on Benghazi than they have on the 20 children in Newton, Connecticut. Gun control also, remember, which Newton, Connecticut gave a boost to. The people in the United States, I think, want some sort of background checks. Was voted down in the Congress of the United States. They did not vote for it. They disapproved it. Okay? And that's the end of it. You don't hear about it anymore. But Benghazi goes on and on and on and on. Forget Benghazi. Take care of the kids in this country. Take care of the people in this country. Let's get some gun control going more than we have. Let's improve the background check situation. Now, I do want to know what happened in Benghazi, because things are strange over there right now. Things that happened there are strange. I'm going to tell you a couple of things you may not be aware of. Number one, two times before the date of what happened occurred on September 11th and September 12th, the Ambassador Stevens was asked, two times he was asked, do you need help there? And each time he said no. He said no. Now, the first time was on August 16th, about a month before, 3 weeks before. Why hasn't Congressman ISIS committee that's making all the noise told us that? Why not? Number two, and this really bugs the hell out of me, because we don't know really what happened. There is a general, and you probably didn't hear his name, Carter Ham, General Carter Ham. And there's an Admiral Gouet, G-A-O-U-E-T-T-E. What happened with these guys? Well, they're in charge of everything over there militarily. The General Ham, the ground troops in that area, the Admiral, the ships out at sea. Carter spoke with Stevens while the attack was ongoing, said, do you need help? We'll send it to you now. I'm not talking to this question, this situation 3 weeks before. He said no. When they concluded the conversation, that General Ham said, screw it, I'm going. I don't know if he said screw it, but I'm going in. And he got his boys together because he had a special team. He had a special forces team of 18 people that were qualified to handle this. And he was also told, He was also told by Washington not to send anybody in. And the important thing in what I'm relating to you is he decided to override his instructions, his directions from Washington, and he was going to send a special team of 18 in there to handle the situation when his immediate subordinate, the man below him in rank, came to him and said, "You are relieved of duty. Stand down. I have been ordered to replace you." Would you believe this? Have you heard this, more importantly? They don't talk about this. Why not? Where's General Hamm? Where's Admiral Gouet? Well, even more interestingly, both of them are no longer in the service of the United States. And the reason they're not in the service of the United States is because they were retired. They were retired. Now, doesn't this sound strange? And when have the American people been told about this? This is fact. Some people know. Not enough. Not many. And while they're making all this noise, let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's bring in two guys who were involved with getting help that apparently either wasn't wanted or someone in Washington said, don't send them in. That's more important to me than whether the president slept that night and where was Hillary Clinton. Okay, moving on. Vermont bothers me, the state of Vermont. New England, quaint conservative Americans, good Americans. I mean, all Americans are good, but they go back to the Revolution, the people of Vermont. You can't argue with them. They're good, straight, honest, hardworking people. Take care of themselves. Well, just this past Monday, which would be yesterday, the governor of Vermont signed into law a bill passed by both legislatures in the state of Vermont, which in effect permits doctors, it's now legal for doctors in Vermont to prescribe lethal killings, another word for it, doses of medication to terminally ill patients. You heard me. If someone's terminally ill, the doctor can prescribe the medicine that will kill them, will put them out of their pain and suffering. It'll kill them. The conditions are there, too. The patient must request it, and the patient must administer it to himself or herself. Must request it, must administer it. The doctor, though, is authorized by law now to prescribe it. The governor himself, his name is Shumlin, he said, quote, "I am honored to sign this bill today," quote, unquote. I don't like this. Two states also that permit this by the vote of the people of those states, and we have one state by a court ruling that permits terminally ill people to be killed. Murder, I think it is. And I'll tell you why. We live in a strange society. When I was young, I was anti-abortion. I'm now pro-abortion because I believe in a woman's right to choose, but back then I was anti-abortion. Because I said, and I'm in my 20s, mid-20s, if we kill the unborn today, we're going to kill the old tomorrow. If we kill the unborn today, back in the 60s, we're going to kill the old tomorrow. And when that time comes, I'm going to be one of them. I'm 77 now. Excuse me for being selfish. Well, I'm bothered by these things because now we're going into socialized medicine. And it's going to be costly to take care of people as they age and age. I know as you get older, you get sicker. You're sick all the time, but thank God the doctors and the hospitals, they can take care of you and make you better. But if they can't and you're going to die, why keep you alive for a month? Why take care of you for an extra month or two? We'll just put you away now. I believe the next step in this progression, I believe this could happen in the next 20 years, not 20 years from now, in the next 20 years, it's going to be, now that we're starting to approve, if you're terminally ill and you want to be put away, you don't want any more pain and suffering, the doctor can help you do it in one way or another. He'll tell you what to use, tell you how to do it. You do it to yourself in Vermont. But tomorrow, it's going to be, he's 84, the problem he has, he'll stay alive another 6 months. We can't afford, though, to medicate and hospitalize him. He's on the death list. And that's where we're going, folks, because where money's concerned, for some reason, our political leaders and everybody in this country, you and I are equally at fault, seem to believe if it's going to cost a lot of money, then we got to do the alternative. Here, the alternative is to kill the old. Okay? That's that. How about this? Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, they're trying to, as you know, they want to eliminate it. The Republicans don't like Obamacare. They want to repeal the law. To repeal the law, you got to start with a vote in Congress, and you got to start, then it's got to go to the Senate, and then the president's got to sign the bill. This ain't ever going to happen with a Democratic president and a Democratic Senate. But the Republicans want to keep the issue in the forefront. Since Obamacare was passed, less than 5 full years ago, okay, probably less than 4 full years ago, the House of Representatives of the United States has brought up for a vote 37 times, you heard me, 37 times the issue that they wanted to repeal Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and of course it passes each time. It's a party vote. The Republicans control Congress. They have the majority vote. They pass it. Nothing happens. They know the Democrats in the Senate aren't going to vote for it, and they're in the majority. They know the president is not going to sign it, but yet they perpetuate. They keep doing this. Now, it's asinine stupid to bring the same bill up 37 times. One reason, I'll tell you right now, is they got better things to do, these guys. The other thing is, do you know how much it costs every time that bill is prepared and offered to the Senate to the House of Representatives for a vote? It costs $1.5 million. You heard me. That's 37 times $1.5 million. Comes to around $50 million they have blown so far. Don't forget, the bill's 26 pages long. It has to be printed. So many copies. They have a whole staff to look over this thing and do it. Then people have to review the bill. It has to come up. Committee hearings, full vote of the House. It costs $1.5 million. I don't believe this. They piss money away. They're worrying about, they're not worrying, and they aren't going to worry the same group, I'm afraid, about the poor, because Oklahoma's a Republican state, their poor brethren in Oklahoma who need more water, who need electricity, who need a place to sleep right now, who have no roof over their heads, have no shelter, the children have no way to go to school. They don't care because it's too expensive. They're not going to authorize that kind of money. Eventually, they will have to, but they're not right away. I don't understand. Also, I want to tell you this. 37 times the House of Representatives votes to repeal the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. However, no vote. Gun control. What happened to the vote on gun control? How many times has the vote on gun control been brought up? Immigration hasn't seen the light of day yet in the United States Congress. How about tax reform? Whatever we need never seems to get to the floor for a vote because the committee won't let it out, or if the committee will let something out, it will be filibustered in either house of the Congress. It will be filibustered. These guys they put their pants on wrong, not their hats on wrong. I don't know what's wrong with them. 37 votes to make a point, piss away $50 million, but on issues like gun control, immigration, tax reform, which we need, they close their eyes and they close their ears. We had a python situation in Florida this past week. We have over 100,000 pythons here. They got here, actually, with a big storm comparable to what happened in Moore, Oklahoma, 1998, Homestead. The top end of the Keys, just outside the Keys, below Miami. Hurricane Andrew, a number five, went through and demolished Homestead, just like you see on television. I drove through Homestead 3 weeks after, I was able to get in there and drive through. And I'm going to tell you something, it looks just like what I'm seeing on TV with more. Everything leveled for as far as the eye can see in both directions. What would happen, people had python pets, and the pets got blown away too. They ended up in the Everglades. They seemed to propagate. They liked sex. They became more and more. Now they're into the Florida Keys. We've only had one in Key West. We found one at the airport several months ago, 9 feet long. Don't know how to get rid of them. The state says we can only manage the population. We can never eliminate them. Well, someone caught this week and killed a 19-foot python somewhere north of us here. A 19th, biggest python they caught yet. And big publicity, big news, great thing. Killed one python. We got 100,000 more out there. And in the meantime, crocodiles are just as dangerous as a python, are an endangered species here, crocodiles in the state of Florida. And because there was only about 70 of them, I think, 10 years ago. Now there's 1,500 to 2,000. So if you got a 9-foot croc in your backyard, okay, you can't kill that crocodile. You got to have call the wildlife people and they'll take him away. Forget your child. Forget you might lose an arm. Forget your wife hanging the clothes might lose a leg. I'm laughing, but it isn't funny. Our heads are screwed on wrong on this issue also. Venezuela. Hugo Chavez would turn over in his grave. Why would Hugo Chavez, the former president who's dead now, been dead about 6 months, turn over in his grave? They're having an economic crisis. They're running short on necessary goods, which are required to survive, to live. Hugo Chavez had these problems, but not to this extent. You know what they are in need of today in Venezuela? Do you know what the item is that they absolutely do not have enough of and the people are going crazy? Toilet paper. You heard me, toilet paper. Turns out the people of Venezuela use 125 million rolls a month. I'm laughing again. This isn't funny, but it is. They use 125 million rolls of toilet paper a month, and they don't have enough toilet paper. The people are going crazy. I read an article where a woman said, I've been shopping for 2 weeks all over the area, and I finally found some toilet paper that was for sale. So they got a problem down in Venezuela, and it's an important problem. No toilet paper, you're in trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Syria. Let me talk about Syria quickly. I'm going to tell you, I wrote an article on this for Conk Life this week, which comes out tomorrow. It gets published. Stay out of Syria is the topic of my article. We don't belong there. This is two religious groups fighting each other. They have been fighting each other for hundreds of years. You know how they kill each other? They behead the enemy. They take their heads off. They teach their children how to take the heads off. They catch them. They take them to a public square in front of a crowd, bring an 8 or 10-year-old over and show them how to wield the sword to chop someone's head off. Assad's group, it's reported, is raping boys and girls 2 to 11 years old. This is bad stuff. These aren't our kind of people. We're going to send our show soldiers over there. They're going to get their heads chopped off. Then what the hell are we going to do in this country? We're going to go crazy. It's not our war. We don't belong there. Let the old guys in the Senate like McCain are saying, we've got to go and fight. Let him go and fight. Let his be the first feet that land over there to defend whoever they are going to defend. Well, I'm down to my last minute. I thought this was some interesting topics. I've got a few more, but I can't get into them. I have no more time. I wanted to talk about going topless if you're a woman in New York City is legal. I wanted to talk about the IRS problem, even though it has been beaten to death. That would have been it. I was also going to throw in the Associated Press problem with the subpoenas, because these are important and interesting things also to discuss. But this has been a big week. I'm really concerned. I got to come back again to see what Senator Colburn and Senator Inhofe do, especially Senator Colburn in Oklahoma. Will he take care of his own people? I want to thank you for joining me again this week. If you like the show, tell your friends to listen in too next week. Until then, goodbye.